Okay, so to page hand a little paragraph over here. So it's like the end of maybe the top third, the last word of the line is V'im, by the period. So he's talking about the Sage Harlima to go from Nigla to be anchored in Nigla, and then after spending, you know, time in that, so then you can dedicate yourself more to Pnimis HaTorah. So he says, "V'moish hazeh yekaviv v'kasha b'iyon esek haTalmud." So let's say the person, you know, his makeup is not cut out for esek to, you know, to put oneself fully into Talmud. So he says, "Mutav l'shniyanich es yadim menu acher shebachan mazali b'Talmud v'yasek b'chachmas emes." This is enochanami. So if a person is not, made to, you know, to be Isaac and Talmud and so much, so fine. So then you could put it to the side, so to speak, after you've clarified, after you understand, you know, your mazel and your relationship with Talmud, and then v'yasek v'chachmas ha'emes, and then you could dedicate yourself to chachmas ha'emes. So he's saying a chiddush, right? It sounds like that, again, the optimal is fill your belly, bus of a yayin, be fully anchored in Talmud, Shas and Paiskim, and then and so on. And then you can throw yourself into Pnimis HaTorah. However, if the person is not, his Tchunas HaNefesh is not for Talmud to such a level, then okay, then fine. Then just go straight to Pnimis HaTorah. V'zeo she'amru, that's what the Gemara says, Kol Talmud Chacham she'en roi, simen yofi b'mishnasai. If you've given it 5 years, and it's, you know, it's just not your cup of tea, that's not your chelik of Torah. So after 5 years, so you could be certain. Okay, fine. So it's not your chelik of Torah. He says, Achamnam. However, let's just go through a little bit more. Then we'll go back. Achamnam. Kol mishu kal ha'ion. However, someone who is good at ion, like knows that his brain works like that. So then certainly the person has to spend 1 to 2 hours a day learning halacha b'iyun, and to try to answer the kashas, to learn b'iyun, the pshat and the halacha. The person should have in mind when they're learning iyun. There's a lot going on over here, but we'll try to break it down. And you should have in mind. We'll go back to that for a second. What does it mean? What does it mean over here that if someone is not, you know, he's not so cut out for Talmud? So you could leave it and focus on Pnimis HaTorah. So one, Yaakov Alav Zalgazonsan, he has a whole tshuva in one of his in Vayesh Vayam, one of the second volumes. He has a whole tshuva about this. There's Chaim mentions this idea in a few places in the Kisveri. So it's interesting. When you first read that first sentence, before going on to the next sentence, it sounds like he established a program. The program is first Nigla, root yourself in Nigla, and then go on to Nister. And then he says, but someone that doesn't have much Hatzlacha in Nigla, because it's not what their Tchunas HaNefesh is made of, so then you go into Pnimis HaTorah. That's what it sounds like. First of all, even if that is the pshat, it certainly doesn't mean. Okay, we'll speak in a second, and then what's the next sentence? However, if you're good at learning, then you should spend 1 or 2 hours a day in learning nigla, and then the rest of the day in nister. One second, what stage in one's learning are you talking about? If you're talking about the first stage, in other words, there's two stages, right? There is, again, lechatchila. There's a time of filling your belly with meat and wine. And then that's stage one. And then stage two is being Isaac and Pnimis HaTorah. That second sentence of, but if you're very good at Nigla, then you should spend an hour or two and the rest of the day in Esther, that's talking about the second stage. And there's once you've filled your belly with Basar V'Yayin, right? Which the Pashtas again, it's hard to see this in like the yeshiva system how it models. But what does it mean to fill your belly with meat and wine? It means to learn bekiyas, right? It means to know knowledge, to have knowledge. Fill your belly with meat and wine means to know information, right? And then once you have information, obviously, in order to the way we think of it is like it's so like separate. Like Bikias is like you shut your brain off and just like daven, right? And then Ian is like you're not absorbing any information at all. You're just like chewing your cud, right? Neither of that is correct. Obviously, when we're talking about Bikias, we're talking about absorbing information and processing it. You know, we're not talking about completely superficial. It's just the focal point is absorbing information in a healthy way that you can digest it. Just like again in the mashal of basar v'yayin, it doesn't mean to like physically in the mashal it means to stuff yourself in a way. You still like to like Esav, not even to chew, like to just stuff it down your gullet. Avadanat, it means to chew. It means to swallow in normal, healthy ways and not to, in a way that you can digest it. So even when we're talking about the focal point of Bikias, of amassing knowledge, we're just talking about that the focal point is to amass knowledge. But of course, in the process of amassing knowledge, you have to understand and you have to, obviously, you're going to have questions and you'll come up with answers and so on. But the focal point is filling your belly with wine, with meat and wine. Once you've done that, so then you can focus on Pnimius HaTorah. But while you're focusing on Pnimius HaTorah, you then also have to, says Rav Chaim Vital, then you also can't let go of Nigla. Then you have to have, if you're good at Nigla, then 1 or 2 hours a day focused on what you call Ian. But what does Ian mean by the Arizal? Ian means a focal point on trying to answer kashas. Why? You already have the information, the knowledge, and you know how to fear, and you know how to think already. The reason why you want to focus on answering kashas for 1 or 2 hours a day is because kashas are klipas, and you're trying to help the shechina, and that's part of learning Torah Lishma, is in order to break through the klipas of in the Torah. Anytime you have a kasha in learning, it means it's a reflection of some Yetzirah in the world and some Jew that's stuck in the Yetzirah. So when you are involved in answering kashas in your Gemara, and your Mishnayos, and your Chumash, whatever it is, so then that's helping break the klipas of the world. And so in that context, says Rav Chaim Vital, so if a person is not cut out for Ian so much, okay, then once you've filled your belly with enough knowledge and anchored yourself in Nigla, then of course go into Nistar and you don't have to worry about spending an hour or two in Ian. Now there's two separate Inam going on over here. Rav Chaim Vital is understanding, even if you're not cut out for Talmud, that's just in the version of Talmud that in the yeshivas they promote, we'll say, which is completely focused on nothing but like analyzing something where you don't even know what the question is that you're trying to analyze. That's not what Rav Chaim Vital is before such an Indian. Rav Chaim Vital is understanding that there's two parts of learning. There's amassing knowledge, which obviously means that you're understanding it, and then there is the avoid of looking for kashas in order to answer them. That's ligros v'hada lizbar. In terms of ligros, the first stage of learning enough information, every Jew can learn information. You have to be Rechaim Kanievsky that you're able to, Ravad Yosef, that you can recall every single tshuva in the page number. No, that's avad not. But whatever your belly can fill, it means fill yourself with knowledge. Every Jew can do that to whatever degree. Obviously some people, if we're talking about someone that could handle learning Pnimius HaTorah, it means you could handle learning Shulchan Aruch and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah and Daf Yomi. And like, we're not talking about, what the yeshiva system would call Ian. So that's standard. That's for everybody. Once you've finished that, and now you're talking about you've graduated from Ligrois, from amassing knowledge, and now you're up to a stage where in Nigla it would be Lizbar, which is Ian, answering Kashas, Chedusha Torah, coming up with stuff like that. And at the same time, now you've graduated that you can focus your attention primarily to Pnimius HaTorah. So now the question is, in that second stage, do you have to dedicate yourself at the same time to a few hours a day of Iyun? To that he says, if you're cut out for it, good. If not, not. But there's no question about it that we're talking about someone that has already spent the time amassing knowledge, because that's something that everyone can do to whatever degree they're cut out to do. That's certainly the case. And even when you move on to Nigla, to Nister, there's no question about it that you still have to reinforce and review and chazer all the information that you've learned. Like the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that's an ongoing. The Gemara says that the Amoraim would chazer their, you know, not, the Gemara picks out a few Amoraim, but they would chazer all their learning every month. So, like Ruchaim Kineski, right? Every year he would make a Sima Shas, right? Not Sima Shas, a Sima of Kol Torah Kula, right? That wasn't his old days of Avoda, right? He spent years in when he was younger accomplishing that. And now he has that in his back pocket, you know, and he reviews that every single year. And when did he review it? We know, like, you know, an hour before davening, isn't it? But what was the rest of the day? I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know what he's thinking. But the rest of the day was, it was Ligris he took care of already. Now it's Lisbar. Whether it be Lisbar in Nigla, which is to answer kashas, or whether it's in Pnimiyas HaTorah, whatever, you know, whatever it is. But that's where Chaim Vital is talking about over here. Because again, we're not, you know, I haven't seen this tshuva in a long time, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is how Yaakov Hillel teaches it also. We're not talking about someone who's like, okay, Nigla's not for me. So you're in, 10th grade, you've decided Nigla's not for you, and now you're going to be spending the rest of your life as a mokobel in training. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, when you say Nigla's not for you, yeah, being forced on, you know, being told mitchila in the beginning of the week, chevra, you're only learning 3 lines of Gemara this week, you know, and you have to spend every single waking moment harving over these 3 lines, and he asks the guy, what exactly is the kasha you're thinking about? I don't know, I'm not sure. Like, you're pacing back and forth, handling, going like this. What kasha are you trying to answer? I'm not sure. So that's a huge pet peeve of mine. Like, I tell Baruch this all the time. Like, when a person is learning Iyun and they don't have a specific kasha that they're trying to answer, then not only are you wasting your time, but you're also training your brain to be chaotic. Because if you're not thinking about a specific kasha to answer, then you're training yourself to just be all over the place. Because, like, what are you doing? You know, so your mind is then all over the place. You're looking for something to, like, what type of, if there's no kasha, you go vaita. That's what Iyun means. Iyun means looking, like, if there's a kasha, then you answer it. Right? So, you know, whatever. But that's what Chaim Vital is talking about. So once you've graduated from that initial stage of amassing information, which means filling your belly with meat and wine, which every Jew can do, Lefi Madrigasa, that's not an exception. Now you're in the next stage, which is like Iyun, and dedicating yourself primarily to Pnimiyas HaTorah. So now the question is, how much time do you have to spend in Iyun during that stage where your primary focus is Pnimiyas HaTorah? Where at the same time you're also being like Reb Chaim Kineski, where you're chazering all the information that you know, so you're not letting go of that, otherwise you're going to forget it. That's obviously, it's a davar pasha that you're obviously reviewing. Just like the Gemara talks about. So to that, Ruchayim says, well, it depends on your talents. If you're someone that's good at Iyun, then Gevaldik, then spend a few hours a day in it. If you're not good at it, then don't. Then what do you do? Your primary focus is Nister, like almost exclusively. But of course, obviously, you're still, you know, keeping some Seder and keeping some Starm to not lose what you've accomplished in the first stage of your life of filling your belly with meat and wine. That's the Vipasha. So, you know, that's it's Dover Pasha, that's what Chaim Vital is talking about. And that's what he says. That's what he says. And when you're learning Iyun for those few hours a day, right, to answer kashas, have in mind that the klipas that you're dealing with, it's a holy endeavor. Knows you're breaking klipas, but it's not chas v'sholom, you know, an evil, you know, yetzahara that you're dealing with a very subtle root of the yetzahara called akasha and atayisvus. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very beautiful klipa to deal with, but lemaisa the kavan is to break klipas. You know, and that's the idea.
Isn't what the rabbi said? I said that would be considered nister also. For that reason.
Well, that's the point. Like, when everything should be done l'shem shemayim, so it's all for Hashem's sake and for making a dibur tachtoin. And the question is just like, you know, what official sugya are you involved in? Ultimately, you know, it's all the same. You know, it all goes down to the same intention and the same effect. But But this is, you know, this is, you know, this is what Rav Chaim Vital is describing. This is the Seder HaLimud of what a person can do. That's what he's talking about. It means that if you're at the second stage and now you're focusing on Ian and you're trying to answer kashas, and for 5 years you're trying and it's like, I don't have Sipa Kenevish from this.
5 years in the second stage already?
Yeah, the first stage, I mean, the first stage, there's different madrigas in the first stage too in terms of amassing knowledge. Like you have the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi who talks about someone whose Zikaron is so great that they can literally remember, they have the potential of remembering all of Kol HaTorah Kula. So then that's a big belly. Right, so that then you have to, if that's your potential, then yeah, but not everyone has that potential, which is fine. But whatever your potential is, in that first stage, that's the point. The first stage is not kikar v'lacha davar ma'ay. The first stage is basically just learning Torah knowledge that you're able to absorb. So that's by its very definition, everyone is able to do that and be matzliach. That's not at the second stage, which is like answering kashas, coming b'chadushim and. Okay, then everyone is able to do that. So if you go years, says the Gemara, and then you're not matzliach with that, so that's not your inyan. I mean, Torah is not your inyan. Of course, Torah is your inyan. But that specific slot of Torah, which is called Ian, in the particular way, which means to answer kashas and make chedushim, that's not your thing. Okay. So what is your thing? Legrois, filling your belly with shas and paiskim, and pinimus of Torah, maybe.
It just sounds hard. Shove in your raya, then you're not going to see
anymore. Okay, listen, you know, there's always, that's called the gvul. So with davening, you know, there's countless stories, you know. Who is it? The most famous probably by, you know, at least by the Ashkenazim, the most famous one is by the Netziv, right? He wasn't matzlich intellectually, maybe he was just like, didn't have zitzfleisher. I don't know exactly, there's different ways that the story is said over. You know, I heard the story that he was just like a rambunctious kid. He wasn't, you know, he was probably still brilliant, but and then, you know, whatever. And then he straightened himself out, whatever. But then there's other stories of people that were not, you know, I'll give you an example, you know.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Right.
Even Chaim Kanievsky, right? This type was not like, that he wasn't necessarily cut out for the biggest thing. I mean, he became a safer of like, people tire every year. But, no, so by Lamashal, I'll give you an example. One of the most, you know, nowadays, like when you think of someone who is like just an encyclopedic mind, total recall, whatever. So Rav Avadia is like the, you know, he represents that. But before Rav Avadia, the Steichemet, one of the Sfaradish Paiskim, he was Rav Avadia before Rav Avadia, so to speak. You know, like total recall, all Paiskim, everything Steichemet. So there's a Maisa that the Steichemet, it's a whole Maisa, but the Kitzur Nimritz, the Steichemet, was a young man, and he was completely not matzliach in learning. I'm not talking about Ian. Like, he couldn't remember anything. Like, mamish, like very not successful in learning. Okay, but it wasn't his thing. Okay, but it is what it is. And then there was a whole Maisa that there was like a, it was a whole crazy story that there was a maid, and then someone accused, you know, him. It was a whole crazy zach. Someone said Lashon Hara about him, and instead of like, you know, fighting back or whatever, so he was like Makabal the Bizyanis. He was like, oh, Maisa. But Kitzer, once he says that there's a certain moment where it was like real Bizyanis, and he was just Makabal because he knew if he said anything, then the maid would be embarrassed because it's Taka of someone else. It was like a whole thing, but he was Makabal the Bizyanis. So the Steichemet said, he writes this, he says, once that moment, he said, I felt it. That moment that I was Makabal the Bizyanis, I felt my mind open up. And at that moment, he turned into the Steichemet. And the Steichemet was a bar shein ma'am bitipa, like a cistern that doesn't lose a drop. Anything that he learned for the rest of his life, mamish total recall. And that's the Sfarim of the Steichemet. It's an encyclopedia. That's what the Steichemet is. An encyclopedia of Torah, did it by himself. You know, without computers, it's just, you know, that's what the Steichemet was. So you have such a thing, right? So he didn't see Hatzlacha for 5 years, right? Okay, that's, there's such a rule of Teva, but then you could break it. L'mal midercha Teva. But again, but the point is over here is that so if a person doesn't have a tzlach in that style of learning of Ian, okay, so gzontay, so don't do that. It's enough community. Like, okay, so the kashas will be answered for someone else. Oh, my, you know, that means you're not going to be the Rosh Hashiva and everyone's looking at you. Oh, you're not, okay, that's Yeshus, that's Gaiva, that's already, that's, I mean, it's, you know. If you're doing Lishma, then okay, fine. So it's not your Indian, okay?
Other Indian.
Yeah, yeah. So it is what it is. So first of all, I mean, there's two things. First of all, you know, Kveg has a kasha and Taisus Tzarchin. There is an answer. I mean, like Taisus said it, right? So like, you know, that's the I remember in Yeshiva, the way they would say it is Kveg has a kasha means that door is bolted. You're not getting in that door. But it doesn't mean there's no other way in. You have to go in from the back, a window, something. So the pshat is that way of there's some sort of mahalach. I mean, it's push like this. Rukveg has a kasha means it's unanswerable. It means if you take that approach of whatever logic brought him to that conclusion, that's a dead end. Okay, but Tysus is not wrong. So it must be there's another way. So first of all, so it's not unanswerable. There's no such thing. You know, it just means that's not. You know, he's telling you this is a dead end. Okay. But also, there is also a side that there is also a kasha which is not a klipa. There's also a kasha which is just a window into Ein Sof. But you mentioned this before that you know Rukveger goes down in history as like certain like there's a certain pleasantness and a sweetness when you say even the name Rukveger, even though he's known for kashas. The answer is because every sugya has to have a stamp that this Gemara, as finite as it is coming from infinite. And what's the point of contact? Where in the Gemara do you find a point of infinite? That's the kasha that's unanswerable. So there is a certain mesikus in that because the Kveger's kashas remind us that there's something here that's more mysterious than we can know. And that comforts the neshama. When the neshama is learning a Gemara and the neshama, chas v'shalom, thinks for a second that this is just like olam hazadik. This is just like, you know, oxes hurting each other and like that's really all there is, that's painful for the neshama. But when the neshama sees Rukveger's kasha and says, one second, these are human beings, tell me these are Amoroim, as great as they are, and we know and there's something over here that's so mysterious that even the greatest minds cannot, you know, figure it out. It's not the pshat they were smarter, it must be that there's Ein Sof over here. Oh, that makes the neshama happy, and that's the sweetness and the chain that Klal Yisrael has towards Rukveger. There's a certain chain in that because Rukveger reminds us that even Nigla is side. That's what Rukveger does. So there are kashas that I'm not going to say. Therefore, don't try to answer them. But you know, it's like I heard from this from Zelik. You know, they asked him once. It's like on a Purim chase. They asked him like how in Volozhin and the Mir, how they go through Shas like these and you know, like in Volozhin they went from brachas to nida. They went. So, like, we're breaking our heads in half an amid in a month. Like, how's it? So Rizalik said there was a skula. What was the skula? When they got to Akasha, they said Sarachina, they went right there. That was the skula. That was the skula. That's how they're able to go from Brachas to Nida. They went right there. So, you know, so there are certain kashas. If it's not answered, then that's a window into Ein Sof. And it's not a bad thing either. All right. Shows you good news.